Right, thank you. Yeah, my name's Solomon Addy. Wow, I feel really, really nervous. Do you know what, kind of, it's kind of crazy, because this meeting, I remember a few years ago, because I live in Portsmouth, I'm from down the road in London, but I moved to Portsmouth, and I remember this meeting used to be like the meetings of all meetings. You know, I used to hear about the Trafalgar meeting, and I remember I used to come down here, come and visit for the weekend, come and stay at my mum's, and come to this meeting, and there's a lot of people, it's like a lot of newcomers were here, they used to come from treatment centres, and you know, when you're kind of new in recovery, and you kind of have, so like when you're kind of new in recovery, it's like you kind of, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, I used to have like four wardrobe changes in one day, you know, just to get to a meeting, do you know what I mean? And, you know, like I come, like I said, I live in Portsmouth, and like, you know, it's like a little recovery town, you know what I mean? And I went there to get recovery, I went for a treatment centre, and I kind of stayed down there. So yeah, as I was saying, this meeting was like one of the biggest meetings in London, and you know, and everyone used to come here, and you know, everyone used to do fellowship, and you know what I mean? And I used to see some of the, like, the people in treatment all dressed up to the nines, do you know what I mean? Just to come to this meeting. So to be sitting up here and doing a share, you know, I feel very honoured and very privileged, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's kind of, I feel very, very nervous. I mean, I was speaking to one of the committee guys, and he was telling me, you know, how it is when you're sitting up here, you know, and everything he said so far is true. He said, like, it seems like people are sitting on your laps, everyone's in front of you, and, you know, and he kind of rubbed it in a bit, you know what I mean, as well, saying to me, you wait, you're going to get nervous, and, do you know what I mean? I knew I'd get nervous. I wasn't going to mention his name, you know what I mean, but Dave. Yeah? Blow his enemy. Yeah, so where do I start? Do you know what? I'm really, really grateful to be clean. You know, that's, you know, really, really grateful. I'm going to be celebrating 6 years in 2 weeks. You know, you know, and it's quite, you know, when I get near to a clean time date, I get, you know, you go through that reflective stage, and, you know, and I was just thinking what I was doing 5.5, what, how many years ago, you know what I mean? And I thought about it, because I wasn't using, because I was in a treatment centre, do you know what I mean? When I was, you know, I was kind of in a treatment centre, and I was having a lot of fear going on, you know, and I kind of made a decision that I was going to stay in Portsmouth and not come back to London, you know, and trying to just do everything different, you know. And, you know, and I kind of respect a lot of people that do it through the rooms, and, you know, amazing. People that do it in their own area, even more amazing. But for me, you know, that wasn't my story. I had to be taken away, you know. I kind of had to go away. You know, too much distractions for me. You know, I kind of just want to say, you know, drugs never made me an addict. You know, I've kind of learnt that. You know, I suffer from the disease of addiction, and it was active way before the drugs, you know, way before the drugs. You know, and I'm kind of one of them people, you know, my story is jails and institutions, you know. I grew up in East End of London on an estate, you know. I come from a good family. I'm not going to sit here, you know, and say there weren't no dysfunction in my family, really. If there was, it was me, you know, it was me. I was the dysfunction. My parents were hardworking. I've got two brothers, both of them are, you know, productive members of society. We're both all from the same household. But it was something different with me. I don't know, you know, I kind of, you know, my mum and dad tried to install the spiritual principles that we learn in NA. You know, they tried to install that years ago, you know, but I wasn't ready to listen. You know, I kind of like gravitated to crime, people that was selling drugs, you know, and all that stuff. And that was what I was chasing for many, many years. Do you know what I mean? And you know, as we commit crime, you know, there's consequences, you know. And yeah, so you know, I'm a product from I'm a child of institutes, and I say that again, you know, I got arrested many of times as a child, and you know, until the social services got involved, and they kind of said, you know, took me to court, and you know, they said to my parents, you know, you can't look after him, we're going to take him. You know, and I think I was 11 years old, you know. And, you know, to any other child, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, it was really traumatic, You know, for my parents it was, because, you know, their son was taken, getting taken away from him. But for me, I loved it. You know, I went into secure units. I'd done all the children's homes in London. And, you know, for the first time, I felt part of something. You know, I felt part of, I don't know if it was the, you know, that us against them, us against authority, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, there's like a group of kids that were dysfunctional, and we all kind of banded together, you know. And I felt really part of something. You know, and the sad thing about it is most of them people that I saw in them institutes, you know, growing up, I kind of grew up with them through the system. So from children's homes to, you know, to like YPs to men's prisons, and, you know. And it's quite sad, you know, that you grew up with these the same sort of kind of people like me and in institutes, you know. But, you know, there is a good story behind it. I've seen a few of them at conventions. Some of them found NA, which is amazing, you know. You know, growing up for me, you know, like I said to you, is mostly, you know, the drugs for me, you know, it only became a problem later on in my life, you know. I was partying and I loved it. You know, I used to kind of say to people, you know, I used to be good at making money. I was a money maker, you know, I was a baller. You know what I mean? I was quite good at it. But when I look at my criminal record, I don't think I was. You know what I mean? You know? Evidence shows no, you weren't. Yeah, so, and then my head could tell me, you know, I used to love, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, you know, when house music was in, acid house first came in, and it was all about the warehouse raves, and, you know, and it was all about taking psychedelics and, you know, all that stuff, you know, and I was involved. As a kid, I was involved straight away, and I loved it. You know, like many of them people I see, you know, they'd go to work on a Monday, you know, I'd still be raving. You know, the music stopped a long time ago for me, but, you know, I just carried on dancing, you know. And it got me to, like, about 37, you know, and I realised all my other friends are productive members of society, got families, they're working, and, you know, I'm still stuck in the 80s, I think. You know, they say that you are what you are when you start using your age in your head, you know. I don't know. Do you know, I kind of see, you know, recovery for me is like, you know, this is, you know, I'm super sensitive, and, you know, I found recovery, and I feel like I'm that little kid. You know when you was a kid and you used to dress up in grown-up clothes, and you're kind of trying to do things, worldly things, like being involved in the world, and but under it, you're just a little kid. Do you know what I mean? I just want to kind of just say, you know what, that's it now. I don't want to play no more. Leave me alone. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, you know, it's an NA meeting, so I've got to, yeah, that's why I've got to talk about drugs. Or have I? Yeah, so for me, the first thing I picked up was alcohol, you know. I mean, same old stuff. Coming of age, you know, loads of us over the park, drinking. Thunderbirds, I think it was back in the day, yeah. Red bottle, blue bottle, Tenants, Super Spread. All that horrible, you know, like most of the other kids, they'd go home, but no, Soul didn't want to go home. Soul would stay out till the morning and continue to drink and continue to smoke weed and whatever else was on the go at the time. You know, and that's progressed, you know, when it comes with the psychedelics, you know, and then it became, you know, whatever, you know, I could carry on, but in the end of it, in the death of it, I was one of them people that I was a nightmare. You know, it was a nightmare when I was using. You know, I remember kind of like people used to invite me to like their house parties. There used to be a lot of house parties back in the day. They don't really have them no more, but, you know, there used to be a lot of people to have like their house parties in their house. You know, it might be a christening, a wedding party, or, you know, whatever. And I'd be that kind of the person, you know, right at the end. Everyone's gone home and I'm still there in the morning, you know, helping them move the furniture back in. And I kind of remember once I was sitting in the front room and everybody's gone and I'm trying to drink the last bits of the, whatever, the horriblest wine, whatever's left, you know, like, trying to drink the last of whatever's left. And I'm sitting in these people, I don't even think I knew them. And I'm sitting in their front room and I can hear them in the passageway going, when's he going to go? When's he going to go? Somebody turn to go. Do you know what I mean? I was a nightmare. You know, and that kind of happened in the end of my using as well. I wasn't even allowed in crack houses. You know, I was a nightmare. I remember I used to knock on a crack house. I knocked on his door. And you know, you look through the letterbox and you can see them and they're shuffling. And they go, shh. And I came there with drugs. Do you know what I mean? And they would not let me in. I was a nightmare, you know. Yeah, so my using got took me to a place, a very painful place, you know. I'm kind of going to say something, and I say this in all my shares, you know, everyone's got opinions and whatever, and in some form, drugs saved my life. It took me to a place where I kind of found Narcotics Anonymous. Because before the drugs, my life was very messy. In and out of jail. Dishonest, doing all the stuff, you know, all that horrible, you know, horrible stuff. For some reason, you know, it's a bit of a paradox, you know, but drugs took me to a place where I needed to change, you know. I kind of, at the end of my using, kind of realised, you know, the only thing I'm going to be doing is just either be in jail for a very long time or die, like most of us, you know. But thankfully, you know, I kind of had the courage to kind of ask for help, which was the biggest thing for me, you know. Because I could still come into the recovery and stay and talk about my using. It's like it was, you know, it was very extravagant, you know. I went to very, you know, I'd make a lot of money. I might be in very extravagant places. You know, bin chutes, electric cupboards, you know. I might be lucky, I might be able to sit in a car and use, you know. But my head will tell me, no, do you remember when you went to a club and you was in the VIP lounge, drinking champagne, you know, and going to hotels and stuff like that. So for me, recovery, you know, I came into, yeah, ooh, well, I have to hold this now. Right, so yeah, I went to Portsmouth, H&R came in there, to this treatment centre I went to, and I made a decision to stay in Portsmouth. You know, and it was suggested that I do 90 meetings in 90 days, like they do, like they say, you know. And for me, I had the big pink fluffy cloud. People talk about the pink fluffy cloud early in recovery. I had that. I loved being clean. I was so grateful. I was, you know, I used to do all the conventions. I, you know, got myself a sponsor. You know, I'd done everything. And I loved it. You know, and the further I kind of, the more I did, you know, I go to meetings outside, you know, I started working the steps and, you know, and then what happened was, you know, my disease introduced itself to me, you know, as in it showed its face, it, you know. My disease was really hidden in my drugs. I didn't recognise it until I came into recovery. I thought it was just in my drugs. Mm. It's only when I've kind of got into recovery and I've realised that this disease is a lot bigger than anything to do with drugs. Drugs was just the solution for a problem that I thought I had at the time, you know. And yeah, and when it introduced itself to me, wow, you know, they talk about 90 meetings in 90 days. I did 90 clubs in 90 days, 90 friend requests on Facebook in 90 days, 90 inboxes to women in 90 days. You know, I did all the stuff that, you know, they said you don't, but you know, that was my process, you know. And for me, you know, like I said to you, I've never, you know, I got expelled from school. I've never done any education. You know, recovery's kind of given me a chance. I educate myself. You know, I've had service ever since I've been in recovery, and I always will do. You know, I think service is a central part of recovery. You know, I sponsor. You know, I love the life I have. You know, like I said to you earlier on, you know, it's like being a little kid in grown-up clothes. And sometimes I don't want to do life. But I know that at the end of the day, you know, if I keep coming back here and I keep doing what I'm doing, I will be okay. You know, recovery is beautiful, you know. And Right, someone said to me earlier on recovery, I'm really one of them people that likes antidotes and one-liners. You know, I read literature, but it very rarely stays in. They've got to be like one-liners. Someone said to me, you know, recovery is like having sex. If you're not doing it right, if it's not feeling right, then you're not doing it right. Simple. My name's Soren, an addict.